to the Q&A now. And the first question that we have, I really like, is, do we hold on to the energy we are helping people getting rid of? Well, that's up to you. So this is a really fascinating question. I get it quite often, mostly from healing practitioners. I've heard it from massage therapists. I've heard it from nutritionists, and I've heard it from energy workers for sure. So I'm tempted to just say as a blanket statement that no, we don't, but that's not true. So what actually happens? A lot of people think that when you're with someone who is in a really, really, really bad mood, and then they leave, and then you're just down for the count for the rest of the day, that they've infected you with their nasty energy. That's not actually what happens. What happened was you were sharing space, and their vibration resonated with a vibration that already existed in you, right? So if that vibration is already there, and if you have to go, that's totally cool. Thank you. Well, we'll see you at the next class. Awesome. If that vibration's already there, then it's going to be woken up. So nobody can really instill something in you that wasn't already there. And that's happened to me before, where I remember many years ago, I was with a coworker, and this coworker friend of mine, really good friend of mine, but she was an extremely anxious person, like super anxious. You could smell it a mile away. And she was just, she left for her shift, and I literally felt like, bang, I was just anxious for the rest of the day. And I was literally like, oh gosh, man, what was that? Why that happened to me? Blah, blah, blah. So as it happened, one of my students is a shaman. And she was doing a Q&A on her Facebook. And I asked the question, I'm like, hey, this happened to me. Why is it getting stuck in my field? And she's like, straight up, she didn't give you anything. This has nothing to do with her. This is all you. She had that energy, but it's something you have that already. And so it was just woken up latently within you. Okay. Now, why does it happen? Right. Or it can be amplified is what the case may be. And so that's where the strength of holding space is. And so that's why really, really good friends are precious, right? That's difference between sympathy and empathy. And this is totally relevant to the answer that I'm giving you vis-a-vis, do I get the negative energy that I'm helping my clients cleanse out? Okay. To make a long story short, it has to do with how much responsibility you're taking for your clients' results. Okay, you're not responsible for other people's results. There's nothing you can do, right? At best, you can facilitate a healing experience, and whatever happens is up to them. So if they receive an amazing healing and they have an amazing time and they have a huge energetic shift, it's because they were open to it energetically. They allowed themselves to receive it, right? After all, they're the ones that still showed up to work with you. They still had to go there. They still had to drive there. They still had to follow your instructions. They sat through, or they laid down through your entire session, whatever it is you asked them to do, and they paid you, right? They did all the work, And so what can happen, I would say, in my experience, 99.9% of the time, if you're feeling the negativity, or you're just feeling drained, or you're having caregiver fatigue is another one, it's because you feel responsible for your client's results. Quite often what happens is your client goes to you and has whatever it is, whatever session it is, and then they leave and they feel great and they're grateful and they just move on with their lives, and they have no idea that you're stewing there and you've chosen to take on that energy. And nobody goes to a healer with the intention to dump their energy on them. Nobody wants to do that. Usually when people are feeling really, really bad, they're like, I wouldn't wish this on anybody, right? So nobody intentionally does that. But if we feel responsible, or if a person's situation reminds us of something that we've already gone through, and it triggers that grief all over again, it could definitely feel like we're taking on their energy, when really we're just being reminded. It's just awakening us to that. So if something like that happens, do we just figure out why and maybe turn to our crystals to help ourselves? Yes. Yes, absolutely. A good question to always ask you yourself, especially if you recognize you're empathic, is this mine or is this somebody else's, right? The whole point of being a light worker is to help other people, right? And people who need help are not usually very fun to be around. Because if people need help and they're in trouble or they're sad or they're grieving or they're in pain, they're not at their highest self, right? So we have to recognize that that's not them. This is them in their state. They were honest enough to come see me and be authentic. And that's the whole work of being a light worker, right? So not to like raise your vibration and then to hide in a cave for the rest of your life. Yes, a lot of lamas do, like monks, and they hide in a cave for a long period of time, but they come back and then they immerse themselves in the community and then they teach in the public until they die. And so the whole point of raising your vibration and having a strong energetic structure is so that regardless of your circumstances and regardless of the state of the people that you're meeting, you're fine and you're not afraid to cry and you can handle that. You know, trauma workers, so people who work emergency room, social workers, law enforcement officers, they have a very clear, strong aura. Like it's just palpable when they walk into the room. It's very, very clear and strong, whether they're aware of it or not. And it just kind of happens over the years. One of two things will happen when you decide to work with in a trauma related field. Either A, you won't be able to handle it and you will leave the field and never go back. Or you will stay there for either forever or for a very long period of time. And during that period of time, as you get older, you don't get jaded, you don't get harder, you don't get saltier, you get softer and kinder and more compassionate. And you can't, people always think like, oh, over time, I'll learn, I'll be brave enough not to cry. You know, I'll learn how to not cry anymore. Actually, what happens is over time, you become brave enough and you're okay to cry in front of other people. You know, I remember back in my nursing days, when you had a patient and the word is non-compliant, right? Like they don't want to take it. They don't want to do it, whatever the case may be. If you're a new grad, and I was a new grad, they're going to say no to you. They're going to say no. So what's the trick? You ask the older nurse. The older nurse will come in and she will ask the same question and she's going to get a yes, an enthusiastic yes. Why? It's her energy. You know, it's a trusting, loving, compassionate energy. You know, whereas in your new grad, you're like, you're scared of people still. You're already like, people don't know anything, right? But then, you know, over the years, you recognize, you know, people know what's best for themselves. People are softer. You know, I remember when I had a hard time. It never really gets any easier when your patients pass away. But what does get easier is your willingness to show your emotion about it, right? And to know that actually makes your day go a lot better if you just allow yourself to cry and to have that moment. But it takes a while to do that. And so over time, it builds that aura. I bring this up because I had a private Reiki student not too long ago. And a lot of her patients are very chronically ill. And she was having a hard time dealing with that energetically. You know, she really felt that sadness and it was really, really hard for her to see them in that state and to see them suffering. And she was wondering, what can I do about that? Well, the truth is nothing. You're choosing to work with people who are suffering. And so what do you want to do? You want to numb yourself out and you want to be cold and not care? Nobody wants to work with that. Over time, if anything, you'll just feel more and more and more compassionate. And then your energy will be more inviting and softer and stronger. And you'll be able to sit there and people will feel comfortable being themselves, being in pain, being sad or whatever the case may be. And you can handle that. And that's what we call holding space. Can you hold energetic space and allow people to have their experience? Just let them be sad, let them be angry, let them say all the things. And yes, sometimes it hurts and sometimes you take it home and you carry the weight of that pain. And that's what, you know, that's why we call them friends. You know, a really good friend will sit in the energetic mud and do that for you, right? We'll cry with you, right? You ever have those friends where you cried and then they cried with you and then you were like closer forever? right? That, why? Because they demonstrated that they're willing to hold that space and to take that ride with you. And it's cathartic, right? It can be that way. So I'm not saying there's a huge difference between having a client come and you're like, oh boy, there's stuff going on here, you know? And again, that's what I use my crystals for. You know, it has happened where it doesn't happen often. It happens very rarely, but there was a time when I had a client and I was like, man, this person is not alone. And the entity that's with them is not a good one. So I'm always in the habit of creating sacred space and calling my guides in. But that's why I have crystals everywhere. For a reason, just in case someone comes along and there's like this energy that's really not supposed to be there and not welcome and decides to tag along. That's why I have very specific crystals in my healing space. When I'm working with people, especially people that I don't know, I'm very intentional with the crystals that I keep on me and that I keep in my space, right? And I'm charging them and I'm cleansing them all the time, which is different from, you know, other people having their own emotions and picking them up. And then it's also another thing too. It's a different story to just kind of feel it. Like if you're very, very empathic and someone comes and you're sitting next to them and you feel their sadness and then they walk away and all is well and good. Well, some people really are that empathic all the time. And there really isn't, again, much to be done about it. Suffice it to say, you just manage it. And you recognize what's yours. And we're not even, you know, we're not even talking about the possibility that your anxiety or whatever those negative feelings are not because of the person, but because there's another spirit in the room that just happens to pass by at the same moment. So there's a very roundabout answer, but does that answer your question a little bit? Let me know in the chat box. Yes, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Alyssa. Yeah, definitely. You know, working with, especially working with people in end of life, it's one of the more transformative things that you can do. So, okay, here's another question Marianne asked. You mentioned using crystals and helping to manifest a supportive environment. How do you do this? Are there any specific crystals you should use? Awesome question. So yeah, you can absolutely use crystals. So this falls into the whole concept of sacred space clearing. Right. And so depending on your goals is how you would choose your crystal. So a very, very simple example for that would be, let's say, I know it doesn't really apply these days, but back in the time when we all used to go to an office together, there was a thing called a boardroom, right? Or a lunchroom. And this is a place where a lot of people gathered together, if you can imagine that. And so there were a lot of things would happen there. And this is supposed to be a place of respite and of rest, but you know, there'd be a lot of conversation. So what kind of, you could be very, very intentional with the crystals that you place in that room. You could choose crystals for harmony, for clear communication, for relaxation, and for grounding, right? Which would be very, very different from, let's say, crystals that you would place in, let's say you have your own, what do they call it? I obviously don't have one of those rooms, but your creative, your craft room, you know, there are these people who are artists and who make the makers, right? And so that's a very specific energy that you want in that room. You know, and so using crystals intentionally for that, you can take it very, very literally. I keep small selenite wands in my closet to keep the energy of my clothes clear. So I'm really just letting it all go, and the selenite is there. I have little bags of crystals that I keep in certain rooms, and so I pick certain crystals. You know, different ones for the bathroom, different ones for my bedroom or for the kids' rooms, and I just tie it in a bag and I keep it tucked away. And the job of that mojo bag is to emit that energy, to complement and to balance the energy that I recognize is happening, right? So the trick with that is to always remember where you put them, lest you accidentally step on something that you really wish you didn't step on. So just be smart about it, right? But yeah, there's... we're going to talk about sacred space clearing specifically with crystals. You can use crystals to clear space and to charge the energy in the space. And of course, if you healing rooms, right? So whether it's literally a room where somebody is ill and recovering, you should be very intentional with the crystals that you're using there. I would even suggest that would be an excellent opportunity for a crystal grid, you know, for that intention. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Awesome. Alyssa, let me know if that answered your question with the energy and the other people. Good. Awesome. If nobody has any other questions, I'd love to know if you could share in the chat box, what was one thing new that you learned or something that you were surprised to learn? Or even just one piece of information from the class that really stuck out to you. Ooh, what are some activities to teach children's energy to support them during the time of virtual learning, et cetera? Okay, so that is such a good question. I should actually write a blog post about it. So in this time of virtual learning, we're spending a lot of time with electromagnetic frequencies. So the very first thing that would be really, really important to do is to make sure that you are keeping your energy clear. There's a quick, okay, allopathic medicine is just another way of saying conventional medicine, hospital medicine, MD medicine, medical medicine. Yeah, so I'm gonna write here in the chat box, what is really good for, do you know what I mean when I say EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies? Yeah, so Wi-Fi, right? Like 5G is coming, there's nothing we can do about it. 5G's already been in a lot of countries and that's just the way it goes, right? So we, on top of the fact that online learning, especially when you're a child and you're the parent of the child, is already incredibly stressful, we still have to contest with all of these EMFs, which are certainly not helping with calm and clarity of mind and all the things. Do you ever notice this when you're really, 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 really stressed, your Wi-Fi conks out? Or like you're just so upset and you're just like really angry and then that email won't send, like it's not sending, or your printer breaks down, or like electronically things go haywire, it just shuts down or whatever the case may be. And you're like, am I doing this? Yeah, you're absolutely doing it with your energy, right? So just as an aside. So as much as possible, it's always a good idea to reduce your exposure to electromagnetic frequencies as much as possible. So simple ways that we can do that is to put your phone on airplane mode while you're sleeping, right? So that helps to keep that down. So I'm going to type this here. Black tourmaline is one of them. Orgonite. Now, orgonite is not strictly a crystal. So orgonite in its purest form is a combination of certain metals and copper in a certain way, usually in a resin. Most of the time when you're buying orgonite on the market, it's going to have crystal energy in there. So that's the beauty of it. So orgonite is really, really effective. A lot of people find orgonite very, very cleansing. Like if they have a chunk of orgonite and they sleep with it, like they even say as a side effect, you're gonna feel out of it for the next couple of days as your body literally detoxes, right? Another one too is shungite. So another shungite here. Ooh, I'm just typing this to one person. Shungite. Anybody here know what shungite is? I always like to say no need to buy anything, work with what you have. If you have shungite, keep that by the computer that the kids use, okay? Or at least bring it out. All right. Really, really, shungite is really, really good for deflecting EMFs. It's very, very grounding. It really creates a big space of clear energy. You can wear shungite. It's another one of those things that's not technically a crystal, but it's in the industry of crystal healing because it has both physical and metaphysical healing properties. Okay. You can put it in your water. Like, don't just buy it and stick it in your water. There's actually a specific way. You can buy shungite, like almost in a powdered form, and it's used to filter your water. But I have like a shungite Buddha, and that just helps to really keep the energy clear. And that will help with grounding as well. So if I was to pick one crystal recommendation to help with online learning for kids, definitely I would recommend shungite. You can even buy shungite. They sell it, little shungite plates that are adhesive to stick onto your phone. Just so to reduce the amount of electromagnetic frequencies that you're exposed to. The first one that I said, black tourmaline, or maybe the tourmalines is one of them. So black tourmaline and shungite, I will admit, are on the more expensive side of things. So you can, orgonite is more affordable, and you can get orgonite in a variety of sizes. And if you don't care about how it looks and you just want the pure orgonite, you can get it for like really, really cheap. Okay. You can even learn how to make your own orgonite. Just Google how to make orgonite, and people make it in their muffin tins and they just put resin on it. So that's up to you. Maybe you found a new hobby there. The black tourmaline, is that the soft black stone? Yeah. And shungite is also pretty soft. I think I just want to make sure I didn't miss a question here. Tamara, I'm just glad I remembered all the course lessons. Well, it's because you live it, right? Are there any fun activities with crystals that you use to teach your children crystal energy? So number one thing I would recommend is the book, Crystals Are for Kids. I'm gonna put it here in the chat box. And the author of this book, Crystals Are for Kids, has written a whole series of metaphysical books for children. It's for kids, but it's actually amazing for adults. This person breaks down crystal energy in a non-patronizing, really easy to understand way. And it's like, why don't people just write books like this? I learned like in like 5 minutes what took 20 pages in the other book to get the point across. So I highly recommend that book. I do have the Kindle copy, but if you can get the hard copy, it was written a while ago. So try to scope out your local bookshop, and especially your metaphysical store. If anyone's going to have a paper copy of Crystals Are for Kids, it's going to be your metaphysical store. I don't think your Indigo and is going to have it, but you can find it online. For kids, what I did is I just shared what they were good for. You know, I took them crystal shopping with me, and not all the time, mind you. Sometimes I will take certain children crystal shopping with me for a predetermined length of time. And I'll say, mommy's going to buy you some crystals if you want, whatever you want, right? And at first they're like, I don't know what to do with this. It's just so, what do you mean I can buy whatever I want? What is this that I'm even buying? I don't understand. So at first it's, they'll pick it by look, but they always, always inevitably pick a crystal that really resonates with what they're going through. And then just share with them. It's like, well, what is this? Well, just share. Oh, this one, you know, everybody loves those intergalactic stones. This one is about cosmic wisdom. This one's about making you feel brave and more powerful. This one is for having good dreams. You know, this one is for helping to keep you happy all the time. This one is to give you good luck and to protect you. This one is going to help with learning, you know, and then take it from there. And they really know quite intuitively what to do with it. And thank you for sharing the Amazon link to that book. That's what I did, is I allowed them to pick their crystals. It can be a very dangerously expensive endeavor. So you really have to set those boundaries and those limits there. But like even you, as a parent, having crystals on hand, just ask them, just share with them. Or when you're doing whatever it is you're doing with crystals, say it out loud. You know, oh, mommy is putting this crystal. Do you like this crystal? I'm going to put it here, like this one here. I'm in my oldest son's old bedroom. He's now moved into the basement. So this is going to be my daughter's room, but I got this for myself many years ago. It's a giant rose quartz. And I gave it to him and I said, you know, I know you've been having a hard time in school lately and you have a hard time sleeping. So I want to give this to you. Okay. This is what rose quartz is good for. And we're going to keep it next to your bed. Okay. And it can help you. And every time you look at it, I want you to remember that this crystal is a loving crystal and that, you know, we love you and this is why it's here. So some sort of touch point. And you can, so the question, should we get them to hold it and set an intention for the crystals they have in their rooms? I think that's a great idea if they're old enough and if they're willing to do that. As adults, when we go to the store and we see a piece of crystal jewelry or a crystal piece and we can see, oh, this one is abundance. I want this. I need more money. So I'm going to buy this bracelet. I'm going to put it on. That alone is enough. That's that intention. That's already you mentally. That's your openness to that intention. We don't have to wait for the right moon phase and to go out and to cast a circle and to light the bonfire and then to use a crystal. It doesn't have to be that way. You can do that if you want to, but we don't have to make it like that. With kids, the trick is you never want to push it, right? So whatever they're willing to do, you know, you could suggest, this is what I do. You can do this if you want, you know, give it a try. And honestly, like, especially with my boy, I really thought that, because he just looks at me like, yeah, okay, this is my second one. And I didn't realize until many months had passed that he had amassed a collection of crystals and he was putting them in his room in specific spots because he found that it helped. He said, oh, with this crystal, I just stopped having bad dreams. And he didn't tell me the next morning or whatever. It was just something that came up in conversation a long time later, you know? And so you never know. So you just share this information. Another thing that I did is I bought my son, my oldest one anyway, I bought him an oracle card deck of crystals. And I think that cards are one of the funnest ways to learn about anything. I always say, if you want to learn how to do anything or get to know, whether you want to learn about angels or fairies or spirit guides or herbs or whatever, get a card deck, get an oracle card deck about that. And then play with that because it's a really nice, practical, tactile way to learn things really quickly. So I gave that to him, to keep at bedside, to do a card reading. I don't know how much he used it in the end, but whatever, for what it's worth, I gave it to him. Yeah, crystal grids, that's a really fun concept as well, if you're willing to share that. But honestly, it's just really living by example, and kids are absorbing everything that you're doing. They really are, especially if you're wearing crystals a certain way, or you keep them around you. They notice these things, they really do, and they adopt them, and feel free to share. Like, even if it, you know, gets eyes rolling back to the back of the head, it's still being planted, right? It sure is. I'm just gonna read this question here. Yeah, awesome. Okay, thank you, Mel, for that. Any other questions? We still have 15 minutes. Oh, I'd love to, I'm gonna go back to read the things that you were surprised with. Yeah. Perfect. Did you guys have fun? Good. I hope you learned something new and that you're inspired to start working with crystals. My question really was awesome. We have a very fun month ahead of us. So this is just the basics, and we're going to get into really more practical things moving forward. Yes, it's nice to be around like-minded people. So those of you enrolled in the online course, you're going to get the recording of the lecture and the audio recording of this Q&A, okay? And that will magically show up in your dashboard within the next 48 hours. if anybody wants to sign up for the full crystal healing certification course at any point after the fact, you are welcome to do that whenever. I'm always going to take a roster of everybody who's attended here. And there's already a ton of content on there, lots of audio content, lots of PDFs and additional videos. So if everybody's good, I just want to ask one more question. If there is something, is there something specific that you would like me to touch on, whether next week or at some point over the next few months? Like if there's one thing that you definitely wanted to get from this whole series that you'd be really upset that we didn't cover, what would that be? Or if you've already taken this course, whether in person or online, animals and crystals, there's one I was gonna be like, if there was something that we did not cover and that you think we should, that's a good one. So fun fact about that, as we all know, animals are very, very sensitive to crystal energy. There's a company out there that makes crystal talismans for dog collars. And as you know, like I used to have a puppy and one of my students actually made something to attach to her collar. But anyway, this, as you know, you have to be very, very careful. You can't just put anything on a collar, right? It has to be like, it can never come off, right? So I think I found this on Facebook and yeah, it's this amazing line of collar pendants specifically for your dogs. And it's crystal healing for your animals. So definitely we can absolutely discuss that. I'll see if I can find it on my grid, but my sister, she shared a picture of her cat. She used to have crystals, you know, on her mantle or whatever. And her cat really liked this one particular crystal. And he would just take it down the mantle and just like sit and cuddle with it. It was the cutest thing. And she sent me a picture of him. He's just like there on top of his little scratch post house. And he's sitting there and you can see there's this little peach moonstone. And I was like, that's so adorable. And it's always that stone, like that cat just loves it. Like how cute is that? Crystal grids explained and really understanding how to do full crystal healing treatment. That is totally going to happen. We are going to talk all about the crystal grids and I'm going to show you exactly what I do in my crystal healing sessions when I work with my clients. So take it or leave it. There's a few different ways to do that and I'll show you what I do. Client room crystals for the practitioner and suggestions for the client. Okay, I'm just writing this down with a pen and paper. I have to say that out loud because usually I'm typing things down or putting them into my phone. So it's really special when I have a pen and paper. Crystals, mojo bags, totally. We're going to discuss that at length. And the recipes, I mean, wonder what they can see with their spice and animal. Yeah, who knows, right? I mean, animals, they see everything. So they know. Elixirs. Yes. We are going to talk about that as well. So it's a really simple practice. One thing, can I give you some homework if anyone's interested in homework? Does anyone want homework? Fun work? Yeah, home fun, home activity. So, okay, I'm going to type this book here. Hidden Messages in Water by Masaru Emoto. Maybe you already own it. If you already own it, have another look at it. YouTube it, Google it. He basically, yeah. Well, I've got 5 minutes to give you a quick rundown. So Masaru Emoto, he demonstrated that our intention changes the molecular structure of water. It's not about the fact that it's water. Water was just a very easy way for him to demonstrate it, right? And so he started with the words love and gratitude, and then the statement, I hate you, you make me sick. So he took regular water, froze it, took a picture of the molecules, okay? That same water, he applied a sticker with the words, like a piece of paper with the words love and gratitude, let some time pass, froze it, that same water, took a picture of it microscopically. And he found that the water molecules that had the words love and gratitude on the jar changed. They became more symmetrical. They became more beautiful. So he did the same thing with the words, I hate you, you make me sick. The water molecules also changed. They became more asymmetrical and just like really not normal. He started to do this with other words, love, happiness, thank you, gratitude, and other hateful statements. He even took it to a school, like grade school in Japan, and he had the kids say things, positive things to one jar, negative things to the other one. I think it was a jar of rice, actually. And this my mother writes on a picture, all those. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's why she does it, Alyssa. because that's that whole, and it's just, it wasn't even, there was no crystal, there's no Reiki or anything. It's a piece of paper with the word on it, right? He took it even further. He played certain music and said, what does Vivaldi do to water? You know, what does this kind of music do to water? What does thank you in five different languages look like? Not exactly the same, but still it changed like that energy. So the point of all this is that intention changes physical form. It changes the molecular structure. A lot of people will look at that water experiment and be like, oh, and we're 70% water. It's not about the fact that it's water. It's just water was easy to demonstrate. It changes the rest. Like plants, there's such a common science experiment they have. Like they'll have the control plant, right? And then they'll have the plant with little headphones in there, and someone's recorded loving words to the plant, and the other plant where they've recorded like hateful words. And then beyond a shadow of a doubt, your control will grow a certain way. The plant that you've been talking nicely to grows really, really fast and really, really big. And then the plant that you've been talking hatefully to grows not at all, or something like that, right? They've done it with apples, they've done it with food, they've done it with all sorts of things. And so if you can understand that intention and that vibration, how much more of a shift can we expect with a high vibrational being like a crystal that in and of itself is very powerful and then holds that high vibration, right? And you place your water near that. Now, this is why we talk about the Mohs hardness scale right off the hop, because I don't want anyone just dropping selenite into their water and then literally drinking this crystal down, right? Or putting other things into their water and wondering, oh, what, why is it blue now? So it doesn't have to have direct contact. You know, it's not like you wrote love and gratitude and stuck the paper into the water. It's not about that. It's about that intention, right? And so in a very, very basic way, that's how you make your crystal water. There are ways to stabilize it. And there is, you know, there are ways to pick your crystals in a certain way, but that in a very, very basic essence, is one way to make crystal waters. And actually, crystal essences and crystal elixirs are very, very, very old practice. It goes all the way back to like the really, really old dynasties in China. So I was taking this lecture on crystal elixirs, and there was one doctor, and like they took it, like they were experimenting, right? Like they were literally like putting the crystals and the stones in the water and drinking it. They were powdering up the crystals and the stones and drinking it. One of the doctors in China, like, and I'm talking like dynasty, like Emerald Dynasty, so really, really old practice, he turned himself blue because of the lead content and the stuff that was in the crystals. And so he was taking it, but took too much and literally turned himself blue. Unfortunately, some of their patients died because of poisoning, and that's why, you know, you gotta be careful there, but that doesn't happen anywhere because nobody does that. But suffice it to say, crystal elixirs, that's not new either. That's been happening for a very long time. So, okay, it is 9 p.m. I am going to bid you adieu. Thank you so much for your time and attention. I hope you had an awesome time. I'm going to put my email in here. If you have any follow-up questions for me, just send them over. Otherwise, I hope to see you next Tuesday evening, same time, same place. It's actually the same Zoom link and the same password. So same bat time, same bat channel. All right. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much.